So this morning I want to talk about a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is not a new topic in our congregation. It's something we speak about quite often, and it's something that we really want to share with people more and more. It is quite a crucial thing and a critical thing for us in our lives. We cannot experience worship. We cannot read God's Word. We cannot be open if the Holy Spirit is not working in our lives. If the Holy Spirit is not touching our hearts and our minds. Here at the House of Ministry, God gave us a mandate. And He said to us that we need to equip the saints. Equip the saints. And that scripture verse is in the midst of where He gives the fivefold ministry, where He shares that in Ephesians, and I just want to read it to us so that we can focus on that. In Ephesians 4 verse 12, and I want to read this specific scripture in the Passion Translation. It says, here it is, and their calling is to nurture and prepare. Other translations say to equip, so to nurture and prepare or equip all holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. So the focus is to build up the body of Christ, to help others, to help the real church to grow. But he says, I like that where he says, our own works of ministry. And we need to understand that today, that each one sitting here have a specific ministry in the body of Christ. And that's why we need to be equipped. That's why we need to learn. And the only way that we can live out and fulfill this ministry is if we have the Holy Spirit with us. If we do not rely on the Holy Spirit, we will do it out of our own strength and our own thoughts and our own ideas. So, just quickly a bit of history that you probably know so well, but just want to share that again, of the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, we hear from, and we see that the Holy Spirit was there, but the Holy Spirit came upon people, and then they had a specific task. They prophesied, there was even times when they built the tabernacle or the temple, He came upon them and gave them physical skills of building and metalwork and all these kind of things. But in the New Testament, it comes and there's a change. Now the Holy Spirit's not coming upon people, the Holy Spirit is in people. And we know that the New Testament is quite shorter than the Old Testament. In the New Testament is mentioned over 200 times, the Holy Spirit. Where in the Old Testament, that is quite a big span of time, is only mentioned about 80 times. So the Holy Spirit has increased and there's a greater working. So we read a scripture in Matthew that is also well known, but I just want to read again. Jesus is gathering His disciples after He was crucified, and He's standing on the mountain before He ascends, and He says to them, and He gives them the great command, and He says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. The piece I want to focus on today is, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now that can be a bit contradictory, isn't it? Here Jesus is standing and He's on His way to ascend to heaven, and He says, I will be with you all the age. How does that work? I'm going away, but I'll be with you. Jesus knew He was in His body caught up at one place here on earth. He couldn't be with everybody everywhere. So then He gave us a promise. He said, He knew He will give us the Holy Spirit. But the disciples didn't understand it at that stage. So He said to them, go to Jerusalem and wait there for me, where my Father will give you the gift or the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. That I will give you. Now, they didn't know 100% what that meant. They didn't know when it will happen. But they were obedient and they went that side to Jerusalem. And they were waiting. If you read those scriptures, then after Jesus ascended, they said they came together every day. Every day they had an expectation. Every day they asked and prayed to Jesus, although he was gone. Here's the interesting part as well. We know after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples and many other people for 40 days. And then when he ascended, it took another 10 days before the Holy Spirit was poured out. So it took 50 days. And that is why today we know we have Passover. And after Passover, 50 days after Passover is normally when we have Pentecost and when the Holy Spirit comes out. So just something interesting. The Greek word for Pentecost is parakletos, and it means 50. Penta is 5, remember? 50. 50. So that was now 7 weeks, the 7th Sunday actually after Jesus passed away or died on the cross for us. Now, just on the Old Testament, after Passover, they normally had a feast that they called the Feast of Weeks, which was the early harvest part. So that's where the first fruits then came, and they normally thanked God for that. So here's the interesting part. 50 days after Passover, they had the feast where they thanked God for the first fruits. 50 days after Passover, when they had Pentecost, the first disciples actually was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's like it's the first fruits of the new church, of the new disciples that is coming through. And that we can read also in Acts 2 verse 41. Another interesting part, at that 50 days in the Old Testament, what they normally do, that's when they gave the law. The law to say, but this is what I'm giving you. This is the law that God said. This is how we must follow him. And I want to read the scripture now in Hebrews 10, where he talks about the law and the Holy Spirit together. Hebrews 10 verse 15. And it says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So we see the difference where the Holy Spirit comes now and he says, yes, you received the law, and you received all these things I have to do. But in a way, that is just, can be a dead thing. That can be a religious thing. I want to make it alive for you. I want to show you to them in a practical way, in a real way. And he says, I will put it on your hearts, I will write it on your hearts, and I will write it on your minds. In the Old Testament, again, we read many times, we see that they took the scripture and they put it on their arms. They had a thing, or they had a little box that they put on their heads with the scripture inside to represent the way of God has says he's putting it in our minds and putting it in our hearts. But it was still an external thing outside. But now when the Holy Spirit comes and people are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that's what John also says, and we'll read that scripture now, where he says then the Holy Spirit comes into our lives now. It's not the external thing, it's an internal thing. And I mean for those words and his word to be written on our hearts or to be written in our minds must be an internal thing, isn't it? And the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit is actually working in all people all over the world, whether they are saved or not, because it's an internal thing. Although they are not empowered by the Holy Spirit yet, but the Holy Spirit is in us. And just think for a moment. You don't need somebody to tell you, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this. You know, isn't it? You know you don't have to steal. You know you must not murder. You know you don't have to do certain wrong things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is actually in our hearts and in our minds. It's written there. But we need a greater empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And it's also the Holy Spirit then that obviously draws us closer to him so that we can accept him as Lord and Savior and then continue with that. So the Holy Spirit is always there for us. But we need a special empowerment. that comes from God. So he comes and he puts it on our hearts, in our minds. When we read Matthew 3 verse 11, where John spoke about this. Matthew 3 verse 11, he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Alright, so he obviously is speaking about Jesus. This is now before the time. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there's two things happening, the Holy Spirit and the fire that is coming. And what will happen? What will be the result of that? He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with everything, a never-ending fire. So this baptism is coming, and it's doing two things. It's going to clean and it's going to empower. Clean and empower. And we have a choice on which side we're going to stand, if I can say like that. Are we going to be in the side where he's just going to clean out? He says he's cleaning out the chaff and the real things. And what is not so real, what is he doing with it? He's burning. So that fire is burning away the things that is not supposed to be there. And this even means, unfortunately, people who do not want to follow God and do not want to give their full attention to what God is looking for. But he's also saying that he wants to empower. He wants to empower. Today, we do realize that there is a greater awakening of the Holy Spirit in the church all over the world and here with us as well. We need to see that picture. Jesus ascended to heaven. He tells them, go and wait for the promise, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And at that stage, only in Jerusalem, at that moment, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Not everywhere. Although he gave the command to say, go out in all the nations and preach the word. And if you go and read in Acts 2, the amazing thing is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, they actually received tongues. And the tongues of fire, but physical tongues that they could speak. And that tongues was other languages, physically other languages. And if you continue reading there, it tells from Mesopotamia and all the places, they explain where they came from. And remember, the Jews came out, the Bible says they were God-fearing Jews from all the nations. And then they mention their names. And then they say, but these guys are drunk. Why do we hear them speak in our other languages, in our language? That was physical languages. So if there was people from today's situation, China, they would hear China. If there was people from other countries, they would hear them physically speak in that. And then Peter stood up and Peter said, but come, let's be realistic. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Can these guys be already, can they be drunk already? And that was already something that God initiated. Because it says, God-fearing Jews from all the nations. So the Holy Spirit was poured out. The message of Jesus was actually already given. And those guys could take it back to all the different nations. I think not everybody was obedient at that stage. And not everybody took out the message. Although after Peter preached, there was quite a number of people. 3,000 people that came to know Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. Because John said that you need to be baptized, you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And like we said now, Holy Spirit and with fire. So if we draw that closer to our hearts today, we need to realize that God is busy with something greater. As he did it did the Pentecost or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just there in Jerusalem. Today the message has spread all over the world, although there's still many places who do not know about Jesus and haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there is a remnant of people all over the world that is seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit more and more and more. And God is saying these days, I want to pour out my Spirit even more on this earth. And everywhere He's starting to birth these places where people start to experience God's Word, people start to experience the Holy Spirit more and more and more. And the more they seek Him, the more He gives. And He says we must hunger and thirst after Him. Here's the amazing thing. I heard somebody speak this week and they said they talk about a super Pentecost. A super outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is going to happen, but it's actually in a way already busy happening. Because now it's not located just again in Jerusalem, it's all over the world. So can we think the impact it had when the Holy Spirit was poured out? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with fire, and the immediate impact it had in Jerusalem and Israel and that whole area. Now just think for a moment, if we are open and we are seeking God and we are looking for Him in all these different places in the world. Now, it's difficult because maybe we cannot be responsible for what people are doing in other countries at this stage, although we can pray, and God calls us to pray for other countries, but we are responsible for what God wants us to do in our situation, in our place, and right here. That means we have to hunger and thirst after God. We have to be open and say, come Holy Spirit, come and do in our lives, in my life, what You want me to do. Because we read it in Ephesians, He says, He's equipping us for our own ministries. And that's why we are the house of ministries. Because it's not just the ministries that the Bible gives us, it's all the different ministries that God is sharing in each person. If we could 100% hear from God and we would start at the first person and He would share each person's ministry, going through that, I think we'll be amazed. Say, God, are You really thinking I can do all these things? Are You really expecting me to have this impact in Your kingdom? And He says, yes. But somehow the enemy managed to come and blind our faces, blind our eyes, blind our minds and our hearts. And we just think, oh, I'm just here. I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's wonderful. And I'll just do my little thingy. But if we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and we are baptized with fire, that's the empowering part. We can have an impact in God's kingdom in such an amazing way. But we do not realize it. And you might say, oh, you don't know my situation, you know, I'm sick and I cannot move around much, or I'm older and I'm stuck at one place, or all those kind of things. And yes, maybe there's a reality to those things. But God knows your situation. God knows your challenges, and He knows the sphere of influence that you have, the places where you go that nobody else goes maybe. And He says, that's why the Holy Spirit is in you, and I am going with you. And you do not have to do it by yourself. Isn't that what Jesus said when He gave the great command? He says, you don't have to do this by yourself. Go and baptize them. Go and preach the word. Go and do all these things. And take heart, I am with you to the end of the age. So it just means we have to come into a place, first of all, to say, shoot, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father, You have a specific plan for my life. Maybe I don't see it 100%. Maybe I don't realize it 100%. But I have to go and sit at Your feet, spend time in Your Word, pray and ask, what is the ministry that You have given me? So that I can take ownership of that ministry that God has given us. Because we know, the Bible teaches, He says, one day I'm going to come and I'm going to say, I gave you all these talents, what did you use it for? But I don't want to do it because I'm going to be tested on it and God is going to say, but why did I give you this and you didn't do this, you didn't do this. I mean, we realize what Jesus did on the cross for us. We see the life that He gave us. We realize how He took away our sins. We see the impact that He has on so many people's lives if they want to follow Him. And because of that, I want to engage. I want to say, but I want to have an impact in God's kingdom. I am open for what He wants to do in my life so that I can be the hands and feet. And then He says, I will baptize you with fire, which means I will empower you so that you can do this. So the only responsibility we have is to sit and say, Father, here I am. Show me what is my ministry. Show me what influence do I have to have. And we have to give over to God. Give over to the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God. Spend time in God's Word so that He can equip us, so that He can empower us more and more, so that we can go and have an impact in people's lives. Many of us will go to a work tomorrow or a specific place where we have responsibilities. And if you think of work, you might think, oh, so much work and so many things and so many challenges and so many of this. And there's a reality in that, isn't it? We're living in this world and we're part of this world. But we are not from this world. I want to encourage you today to go and sit to say, okay, God, you, I'm going to that place. You don't know the people there. They don't serve you. They swear. Maybe they're not honest and all these kind of things. But you have called me to be in that place. And yes, maybe I'm not the manager of the place, so I can't get everybody together and tell them what to do. I'm just working there. Wonderful. But you must remember, you are walking in that place as a child of God, as a son of God, with all the authority in this world. And maybe you don't have the opportunity to speak it out and to say it out, but we can pray it out. And we can have an influence in the spiritual arena. Ask God, what must you do? Ask Him what you must pray. Ask Him what you must say to the person next to you tomorrow. Maybe you're working with the public or people coming from outside. Just sometimes that love that you will show by saying, I will help you with this. Or understanding or listening or whatever God lays on your heart. And if we think back, what has the greatest impact in our lives many times? Is it when people just say things to me, or is it when people show me things? Show me their love. Show me the how much they care. And we are in that place where we can do that now under guidance of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows that person. The Holy Spirit knows what is the need of that person. The Holy Spirit knows his circumstances, and maybe he just needs a friendly word today. Maybe he just needs encouragement and say, you're going to make it. Take heart. Who knows? So if we have that relationship and the Holy Spirit is in us and he empowers us, we can just be that link to link God with that person. Through whatever things he tells us to do or to make. And like I said, maybe you can't say much, but you can pray. You can walk into that place tomorrow and say, I'm walking in with the authority of Jesus Christ today, and things will change in the spirit here. My circumstances will change. My sickness will change. My difficulties will change. And that doesn't mean just tomorrow everything is fine and everything is... No! God says we need to persevere in that. And it will take time. I've seen many times it takes 2, 3, 4 weeks sometimes before you start to see a change. And that's why we need to be encouraged and to know that we are not alone. If the Holy Spirit is in us and is with us and He gives us this ministry, I think we are the ones that gives up so early, so easy. And we need to ask Him to help. And I know that's easier said than done, isn't it? When life is real, when we walk out those doors, life is real. The challenges is real. We know that. But if we do not believe in what the Bible teaches us, if we do not take this encouragement, what is going to help us? It means I have to read it. I have to say, God, I believe it. I take it now. I want to apply this in my life. I want to apply it in my situation. Because it is a practical thing that needs to happen every day. Not just when we are at church. Not just when we are at the cell group or a prayer meeting or all these kind of things. Because there it's easy and there that's what they expect of us. But if Jesus doesn't become real to us, and He wants to become real to us, but we have to ask Him, we have to pray, and we have to open our hearts to say, come Lord Jesus, come Holy Spirit, I am here today, I am here today. Then we will see a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not just in my life, but all over the world. And God wants to do it. There is enough prophetic words going around that God is sharing, not just with us, but all over the world. And He says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit more and more. I'm going to do a greater thing more and more. And we have a choice today. Am I going to be the one that is thrown out? Or am I going to be the one that is empowered and to move forward with that? That's the question we have. Let us sit and then we pray together. You can pray in your heart after me. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I have a ministry. You have called me to a specific ministry at the place where I am. I don't always see it. I don't always realize it. But help me. Help me with it. Holy Spirit, I open my heart that You will come and baptize me with fire. That You will come to empower me. Empower me so that I can be strengthened, that I can be encouraged. Open my spiritual eyes, my spiritual ears. Help me to hear Your voice, to see how You work, and use me. Use me, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that I can pray for everyone now. That I can speak a blessing. And Father, that the words that we share will become so real in our lives. That we will realize who we are in You. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And Father, I pray, we know that the enemy managed to come and blind our eyes. He throws situations to us that discourage us and make us feel like we are not winning. But Father, I pray today, will You spark a fire? Will You spark a fire in people's hearts today? Holy Spirit, more and more. I pray this week that people will experience You in new and wonderful ways. Experience how You give breakthroughs. Experience how You empower. How You go ahead. How You give wisdom. How You give whatever is needed. How You give healing in the name of Jesus. I pray that You will become more and more real to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father. We honor You. We praise You. and we worship you. I pray, Father, that you'll give us testimonies. Testimonies that we can share with people to say, this is Jesus. This is how the Holy Spirit works. This is what he has done in my life, in my situation. And Father, I want to pray that you will give us patience. If we do not see the changes or the results so quickly and so easy, I pray that you will give us patience to endure, to continue, to seek your face, to hunger and thirst after you. Please, Jesus. Thank you that we can pray this and that we can ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.